Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a production of Dirty Mo Media. Back again on another episode of Speed Streets. It is race week for Connor Daly. Race week for NASCAR, of course. We're going to talk about that. But we're inching closer and closer to that race down in Texas. Race number two of the 2023 IndyCar Series season. I'm Joey Molinaro. This is Speed Street again. Thanks for being with us. Lots to come on today's show. We got another great guest, another member of the Andretti Autosport team, Roman Grosjeans, as he's known around here. Roman Grosjean will be hopping on. Talking all things with him, with the famous Frenchie. I can't wait to pick his brain. Great conversation there, but a lot going on in the world of motorsport. F1 taking shots at IndyCar. F1 drivers talking about IndyCar. I guess it could be an appropriate response for us absolutely eviscerating their Vegas race last weekend or last week's show. But it's going to be a fun show. Got to get to the co-host of this program, Connor Daly. How we doing, brother?
Good, man. Everything's great. Finally get two weekends in a row racing here coming up, although wildly different, obviously, going NASCAR racing at COTA. And then right into IndyCar at Texas as well, Texas Motor Speedway. So honestly, too, I'm much more pumped now and like excited to actually compete like in COTA because, again, for the first time in my short NASCAR Cup Series career, I know the track. So, like, that's just one thing that is a very nice just component to the weekend. So, feeling good about at least knowing where I'm going. I've driven the cup car at a road course before, which is also important. So, I do feel like instead of, you know, having to kind of absorb a lot of unknowns, I might have the chance just to go out and maybe kind of get more aggressive with it initially and figure out some things quicker. So that's nice. But yeah, life is good. And yeah, lots been happening. And everyone misses IndyCar. We keep hearing, you know, people seeing tweets and we all miss IndyCar, don't worry. But they put a lot of social content out there. We're trying our best. We've seen some testing. But we're almost there, I promise. We are almost there.
We are. We saw that they put out a little bit of a recap from last year, a little segment between the Bus Bros about last year's Texas race, which was thrilling and epic.
Torturous for Scott. Torturous for Scott. They're making him go through that all the time. My gosh.
I know. It absolutely was so close. But even Joseph said, hating to do it to a teammate, especially Scott. But hey, I mean, you got to take the checkers when you can get them, brother. You got to go after. Yeah.
First of the checkers wins, as they say.
Yeah, so it's coming up in a couple weeks. I saw a Legends Day video as well. It wasn't necessarily promoting anything that's new that's coming, but it was just kind of, it was from IMS, and it was just like, you know, nothing better than Legends Day, and I was just thinking about, God dang, we're getting close to that as well. I mean, next week it's going to be April, and then before we know, we're on the doorstep of the month of May. I would like to promote one thing. Tickets are on sale for my show, A Night With Me, at the Bogue in Broad Ripple, which is just outside of any neighboring of Indianapolis. So if you're going to be in town for the 500, if you're already in town for the 500, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a variety hour, late night type of feel. So we're going to have stand-up. We're going to have bits. We're going to have guests. We're going to have booze. It's going to be a great time at a legendary venue. Thursday, May 25th, that's the kickoff for Race Weekend. So we're going right into that party, right into Carb Day, right into Legends Day, and then Race Day. Greatest weekend of the year. Hope to see you there. Tickets on sale now, theboke.com, and on all my pages as well. So you follow me, go to my link tree. They are there. Hope to see you there. Cannot wait. Going to be promoting a lot of this program. Hope that's okay. Speaking of promotion, Connor, there was a little bit of promotion that IndyCar got over the weekend in Formula One. it was a little bit of good promotion, I think, and then it was a little bit of bad promotion. Why don't you tell the folks about it?
Well, yeah, no. So obviously, to talk a little bit about F1, a bit of an interesting weekend for them because Max had a mechanical failure in qualifying, Max Verstappen, and then Charles Leclerc had a grid penalty. So you had two quick drivers starting in the middle of the pack. Fernando Alonso on the front row, pretty cool start to the race, whatever. But after honestly, the race was super boring. Other than, a couple passes, saw Max easily pass everyone. And look, I try to give a lot of credit to Formula One. I really do. I would hate folks that, cause we want to talk about a lot of motorsport here and we do, and we will. But when you have people, I guess, coming after you, the way you put food on your table, coming after your sport, it does seem like there are now like a targeted attack at IndyCar from big Formula One. Now, look, some could say it's a conspiracy. Some could say that might not be right. But we watched and Alex Rossi tweeted this clip, He tweeted it with at Kevin Magnussen first, so it didn't go to everyone. It wasn't a big tweet. But Kevin Magnussen said that their midfield pack, which their midfield battle, the midfield in F1, I would say, there is some competition there. That's the most enjoyable thing for me to watch, is some of those guys battle for ninth. But it's, and 12th.
Our own Logan Sargeant was doing it this weekend.
Yeah, Logan Sargeant was on a bit of a tough
there.
Tough strategy that he was on with on the softs there at the end. But, it's still not the race for the win. So Kevin Magnussen, though, was being interviewed. I don't know if this was after the race or after qualifying. I'm not sure, but I received the clip after the race. And he was saying that the midfield, the midfield pack is close racing. It's tight. It's almost like IndyCar. Which is great because Kevin Magnussen, friend of IndyCar, he's done IndyCar. He gets how hard it is. But then if you notice, and again, Alex edited the clip to remove this part, but at the end, and I didn't tweet this clip yet, but the female commentator lady who was asking him about the question was like, "Oh no, no more of that," to IndyCar. And it was like, well, I don't necessarily know why we have to say no more of that. What do you mean no more of that? No more of great racing? No more of respecting another racing series where there are professional racing drivers competing? Like, it was just, if for me, again, you have to, like, I take a lot more offense to this stuff, again, because, and I don't know if many people will actually understand this, but imagine if someone went into your home or where you work. Like, imagine, Joey, would you to say, then this might be a little aggressive. Let's say someone walks into your house and's like, "Hey, your son, don't know if he's going to do much with his life." You're like, "Excuse me? Like, you're cursing something that I love, someone that I like, you're coming in here and like hacking down.
Don't you put that evil on me, Rick and Bobby."
Exactly. You can't, like, that's just absurd. That's why, like, because it's something that you put years of your life into. You work your butt off to do or to create a son as you did. You know what I mean? Like, it's there. There's so much of what we put into this.
It didn't take that long for me to create it, but yeah.
Well, that's it's to each their own, right?
Right. Yeah. That would be, start to feel bad for the lady. But
well, exactly. Yeah. But in the end, I don't see us really ever disrespecting Formula One. Like, we really don't, but I kind of want to now, because let's be honest, I'm sorry. If we really want to talk about the facts of Formula One, it's extremely boring. You have two cars that are beating everyone. The races are just a big Instagram festival. Like, we got cool video. And again, they do a fantastic job of production. It's awesome. But if you're talking about the actual sport of motor racing, it's nowhere near what IndyCar is. I'm sorry. That is what it is. And again, I like F1. I do. I watched it. I went to a restaurant. I watched the race live with my friends. I watched qualifying every session because I'm a race fan, right? I am sick and tired of being like, hey, we respect Formula One. Great stuff. Love talking to those guys. And again, the drivers are my friends, right? And we're going to talk to a driver on this show today who spent a lot of time in Formula One. And I'm very curious to get his opinion on it as well. But you kind of know what I mean there, Joe. It's just, why is that necessary? Why are we, you have the St. Pete Red Bull F1 car in the city when the event's happening. You have the Las Vegas race potentially breaching copyright of Indianapolis 500 phrases, which I think, honestly, sue them. Like, they should be sued. I 1,000%. Because it's breaking the law. It is. If you look at the law of copyright, they are breaking the law. So, I just don't like seeing that type of attack on our sport.
No, absolutely. And I think that there's people who will tweet at us, or there's people who will talk about our show, and well, you guys always riff on F1, and it's like, no, it's always pretty much in a response to something that gets brought up, right? Like, it's never really unprovoked that much. It's always kind of like something like that happening, something with the greatest racing spectacle on the planet or whatever happening. Like, it's always kind of a response to something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And again, if there is a fantastic F1 race, like Jeddah was last year, I thought, at the Saudi Arabia race, like, I will respect it and I will give it the credit that it deserves. Because again, I a lot of those drivers are my friends. I enjoy seeing them compete. And I enjoy seeing the technological advancements of F1 and what they're doing. But I just, the arrogance or the look down uponness of like what they see about the condescending attitude towards IndyCar, again, I guess if you're talking big business, that does make sense, right? Because you want to eliminate all your competitors. I assume CEOs of large companies want to eliminate the other companies that they're competing against in their sector. So I don't know how that all works because I'm not a businessman, but I assume that's like, so I, again, you can find the clip that's not edited by Alex Rossi or Andrew Rossi.
When you send it to the group, Ben, you have it, right? You want to play for reference here for our listeners?
Formula One is great at the moment. It's really tight in the midfield. I've never had it like this before. It feels like we're in IndyCar or something, but
no more of that.
So there it is. I mean, that, like, it's pretty obvious. Like, again, it's a short clip, and again, might be out of context. We're a speculatory television program here, or a podcast, whatever it is. But it's still something that you're like, well, it's not what I would have learned. I don't know. It's odd.
It's a weird follow up. But
yeah,
As if he was like,
not good racing.
But yeah, you do have to kind of appreciate what Magnussen said. So
I respect. See, that's the thing. I respect K Mag. He's an IndyCar guy. He's a friend of the series, friend of the sport,
for sure. I want to go to real quick, kind of just bouncing off of what we saw in F1 and kind of the reactions from different people that we saw. I want to go to Scott McLaughlin's Twitter here real quick. old bus bro, and
he was firing some great tweets. And again, Scott McLaughlin, Sebring 12-hour champion. We could talk a little bit about Sebring at some point too, because that was crazy finish.
Congrats to Scotty Mac doing the thing on an off weekend for IndyCar. But I did get a kick out of this. Jeff Gluck tweeted, "Ooh, Max Verstappen steals fastest lap from his teammate on the last lap of the race," and Scotty Mac quote tweeted, "Edge of the seat stuff that."
Yeah,
I thought that was beautiful. I just imagine his Kiwi accent saying that in his little smart-ass tone, and I thought it was very well played.
That's the thing. For those who do know Scott McLaughlin, you know that is 1,000% sarcastic, and I could see him saying it. And I immediately responded laughing because I was like, man, that is just, you know, I mean, that's the type of stuff we're talking about here. You know what I mean? There's no last lap passes. The race was won by 5 seconds. Max was being held to a certain time, and then he could just randomly go a second faster. Like, it's, yeah, it's kind of a charade, and we can tell. But boy, do they make it look cool. I will say that. The cars look cool. They got cool podiums, great stuff, and
always looks like they're racing on like Pandora. Like,
yeah,
the aerial shots. I'm like, where the, are they even on this planet? What the hell is going on?
It is some exotic locations.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Another thing from Scott is right below, and I just now noticed it, but he quote tweeted Chase Elliott. This would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to see this on television. Chase Elliott tweeted, watched the end of that too. Saw Scott McLaughlin is better at driving than he is playing golf, fortunately for him. Scotty Mack, who's a big golfer, as are you, Connor, as now I am as well. Scotty Mack tweeted, NASCAR versus IndyCar golf tourney. Let's go. I think you put that on NBC, FS1. Now, that would be something to see. I'm all in.
Look, I do think there needs to be some sort of charity golf tournament, some sort of a celebrity pro-am, whatever we discuss, whatever we talk about. I'm fully in on that. I think I would be bad at it, but let's get some cool branded towels. Let's get some cool, you know, golf balls that have maybe a logo on it. Maybe the Dirty Mo Media logo. Who knows? Maybe Dirty Mo Media can fund it. Well, maybe Mike Davis. That's up to you. But yeah, Scott McLaughlin would win, obviously. But we would, you know, we would give it a shot.
Who would be the IndyCar foursome? Scott.
Well, honestly, I don't play enough to be good. But Scott and Graham, Ray Hall are very good. Yeah. I've played golf with Chase Elliott. I know Chase Elliott's golf skill. He's pretty good as well. But when it comes to IndyCar, I think it's just Scott and Graham. But, you know, we took Joseph Newgarden golfing once, and of course he was good at everything. So Colton Herta also golfs. I could see Colton Herta on an IndyCar foursome of golf.
Yep.
And then I'm just definitely going to add myself to the team as well, because I, you know, maybe on my day, I can swing a club and I'll get that ball near that hole.
Hey, brother, if we're doing best ball, all you need is one.
All we need is one. Yeah.
All we need is one. You make your contribution there. As long as I get to be the caddy for the IndyCar team, then I'm totally in for that. I'll dress up in that stupid white suit and then
put those big socks on.
I'll do all that shit.
You'll clean the balls? Okay, perfect.
I'll clean the balls. Absolutely.
Amazing news.
All right. So this weekend, man, you mentioned it off the top. You're heading to Kona. You're racing again in the Cup Series. What is the preparation for you been like last week and then this week heading down there to Texas?
Yeah, no, it's been interesting so far just to try to get just as much information as possible. You know, I watched the full race from last year again yesterday, and did an iRacing race last night with the NASCAR Next Gen car, which was really fun. But yeah, I mean the major difference from last year's Coda race is like that was the first road course race with the Next Gen car, so they've definitely made a lot of progress on the car, and now they're taking away a lot of downforce too. So, you know, for those that are IndyCar listeners who might not watch as much NASCAR, you know, we're running that weekend with essentially a tiny rear spoiler, very little rear downforce, less floor downforce, which is going to make the cars, you know, supposedly harder to drive, just slower in general, but harder to drive. The tires are probably going to go off a little bit more. And this is the first NASCAR race since, like, I think 2016 where there's no stage caution. So there's no staged yellows. For some reason, that's still a lot of open wheel fans sometimes come after me and just like go at NASCAR's throat for having stage racing. I'm like, I actually like it. I think it's very creative. But this will be a true NASCAR race where there are no, you know, staged yellows. You know, you could have a strategy play, you know, pit early, maybe get a yellow in the middle, do a little Dale Coyne Racing magic strategy type stuff. There's a lot of elements to this race that will be different. So it'll be very interesting. You've got Kimi Raikkonen, Jenson Button, Jordan Taylor, Miggy. I mean, it's very, very cool. You know, a bit of spice in the field. You know what I mean? And
sure,
I can't wait to race against those guys. Honestly, I think we'll probably be in the garages next to each other because obviously we're all like, you know, we're all one timers or very few race season folk. So that'll be cool. I know Jensen. I don't know Kimmy at all. I assume he'll look at me as if I, you know, won a charity raffle to be there, like I tweeted about. I assume he will ask why I wear a fire suit, or like if I come up to him, he's like, why do you have a helmet on? Like, is this for safety protocols or like what happened?
Come on, man.
I don't know. I just hope to have one funny interaction with Kimmy, like we go to the, like we're heading to the porta potty before the race, and he's like, why do you have a suit on? You know what I mean? Like, are you whose tires are you changing?
He goes to reach for your Sharpie, and then he thinks you're going to extend.
Yeah, exactly. Like there would be some sort of funny interaction, or like, let's say for some odd reason we're starting next to each other in the race, like on the grid.
Yeah.
And like, he'll be obviously surrounded by media, and I'll be trying to like get to my race car, and I'll say good luck, and he'll be like, I've never seen you before in my life. And I'm like, well, you know what? Have fun.
Here's a funny play in that situation. If that comes up, here's what you do. If all the media is around, this always works. If all the media is around, then you get in and you act like a member of the media and like get your arm in there and try to ask a question. And then all the media, they turn to you and they start tweeting out photos of you. And they're like, oh, ha, Connor Daly, this guy.
Well, we are media. Question. This is media.
Right.
You know? We are media.
Kimmy, we are like, big media. Speed Street Pod, Dirty One Media. That would be a hit. That's the play if that happens.
You know what? You're right. I should definitely record a segment with Kimmy for the podcast. Just go to him and be like, hey, man, I got a podcast. This might be weird, but like, just give me like a quick 5 seconds on how you're feeling today. And he'll just literally, if you hear nothing but silence, you'll know that it went great. Like, it went really well.
Now, you were down there for the F1 race last year. So we well documented on the show. You're talking about the experience of being down there and how crazy it was. What are you expecting? You think just kind of from the fan experience, the fan turnout, you know, Cup compared to F1?
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting for sure. I mean, I think the two races are very, very different. But the crowd looked great last year for the Cup race. I mean, NASCAR, you know, NASCAR always shows up for the races, so I'm sure it'll be really cool. You know, Texas, a lot of race fans down there. And I'm going to basically try to tell everyone to go to the IndyCar race the next weekend in Dallas. So my goal is double marketing. The Texas Two-Step is what it's being called. We're going to actually be doing some cool giveaways through BitNile as well, so stay tuned if you're listening through that. Might be some ways to win some cool stuff through our partner bitnile.com. But I'm excited to just see the event. Apparently I'm staying in an RV there. I've been told the team has rented me an RV of sorts. I don't know what that means. So I will be like a real NASCAR driver and staying at the track. Because realistically, Austin's kind of tough. Like you have to stay like 20-30 minutes away from the track if you want a decent hotel. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. I hope we get the practice on Friday, and it looks a little rainy right now, but hopefully that goes away. But it's going to be a hot one. So we're prepared. I've done some laps on the static Chevy simulator. You know, we did some iRacing last night, tried to get some, talked to AJ Allmendinger on the phone yesterday for like 25 minutes on a few different things there. And obviously he was about to win that race before he got absolutely sent like a rocket launcher off the track by Ross Chastain on the last lap. But what I think is most interesting about that race, and this is a good thing, is that the track is so long that no one was going a lap down because the track is so massive. So like, if there's a yellow and like you've had a tough first stint, you could be a minute behind the field, and like there's a yellow, boom, you're right back in the game. You make an adjustment on the car and suddenly you could be 20th and you know, a restart later. So there's a lot of opportunity with that. Obviously, you know, if there's no yellows all day, which I can't imagine there not being any yellows all day, then it would be probably a boring race. But I'm open for some excitement. You know what I mean? Have a, you know, get a first stint in, maybe get some strategic play going. take advantage of some yellows, and then, you know, just see what happens. But that's kind of what I found was most interesting is, you know, you got to 10 laps to go, 20 laps to go, and every single car that was running was on the lead lap. So that's good for racing.
For sure. Now, this is your third, this is going to be your third Cup Series race, right?
Yes.
Are you like, well, have you felt the progression just naturally, just getting that experience behind the wheel in the car? I know that you mentioned that you ran one at COTA last year, but just in terms of the racing feel for you, like, is it getting more comfortable? Can you feel that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I hope so. I'll definitely let you know after this weekend. I think this is really the judging weekend of how much more comfortable I feel in the car. You know, it's a different road course, but it's a road course. You know, I think we've made a few improvements on the car according to what we've needed to do to be a little bit better. You know, some stuff on the brakes, some stuff on the drivetrain, stuff in general that I think we can improve on. So I think this should be a race where hopefully we are definitely racing with people legitimately, and that'll be nice. So we obviously don't know that, but I definitely feel more ready to, you know, be in the fight rather than staying out of the way.
There you go. Don't feel like we're going to have to hoopty bumping in the back this weekend.
Yeah, I think we're going to be all right. Hopefully we got the shocks sorted out, and if we do, we know how to fix it at least.
Can't wait, man. It's always great to watch you out there, especially when a weekend that we don't have IndyCar. So I know everybody's looking forward to it, without a doubt. All right. You sent us a funny meme here earlier. I won't reveal exactly what it is, but it's to go into our next topic about IndyCar continuing to experiment with the idea of looks of going to Argentina.
Yes. Yes, we saw some
for an actual in-season race.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's hope so. I don't know. I think we saw, it was funny, there were a bunch of spy photos of Mark Miles arriving at in Argentina to look at the racetrack down there. But honestly, I think there are so many passionate race fans in that area of the world that I think it would do really well. I think it would be a absolutely sold out event. And knowing Ricardo Yuncos for as long as I have, I mean, he is so passionate about motorsport and motorsport in his country of Argentina. I would love to see us race down there. I think it would be fantastic for the sport. You know, I'm sure the teams would have to be well taken care of for that to happen. You know what I mean? Like, they would have to be a financial benefit to the teams to go. The promoter would have to, whoever would promote it would have to be able to be like, hey, we got to get these teams, you know, down here. So we got to make it worth their while. Cause obviously we're not driving the cars down there on trucks. You know what I mean? That'd be a little bit of a long journey. So, you know, how do we get the cars there? How do we get everyone there? You know, what's the safety like around there? And again, I don't know, but like, I assume, you know, there's just a lot that goes into that. But Formula One has it dialed, right? They ship all their stuff all over the world. So it is definitely doable. You know, I would love to see it happen, especially if we can add a race in this long month of downtime. You know, if the weather is good down there right now, perfect. It looked quite warm. The photos look nice. I think it would be great. I love that they're actually, you know, definitely legitimately going to check it out and like and having a look at it. I think we need a lot more still here. And we need more ovals, of course. But adding a road course race in Argentina for a passionate fan base down there, I think it, you know, financially and everything makes sense for our series.
Would doing something like that and setting up, you know, potentially an 18th race during this time in Argentina, would that then maybe lend itself to, okay, now we go to Argentina, now maybe we hit like a Brazil, you know, with
Southern Tour. Yeah.
I mean, maybe not back to back, but like basically it is Argentina opening the floodgates to maybe, hey, if this goes well, how about Brazil? How about Mexico?
Well, I certainly think if those countries saw, you know, that it was a successful event and that people bought tickets, then yeah, for sure. Why not? At the end of the day, You know, the event has to make money. People who put it on have to make money. People have to make money. So if it's a, you know, if it's a dark hole of losing money, then no one will want to do it. But boy, if it's a success, you know, why not? So, you know, Argentina doesn't have a Formula One race, right? So that, you know, they're looking for something. There's a lot of passionate motorsport fans. So we'll see. I love the idea. I hope I'm around for it if we do, you know, do get to do something like that.
Why do you think that they're putting the emphasis, and by they, I guess, I mean, you know, Mark Miles, IndyCar, folks like that, the emphasis on somewhere in a region like that as compared to, like we talked about last week, with all these ovals that are still opportune here that either used to have races and now don't, or, you know, why is that?
I mean, it's all money. That's the thing. People have to see that IndyCar is growing enough to where we can sell tickets to the events, right? Right now, and a lot of that has to do with the promoters too. Like, I wish, you know, Green Savory has been doing a lot of our races for a long time, and, you know, they do a good job. But, like, realistically, when you look at the podiums and the way some things are set up, you know, it doesn't, I wish we could do things bigger and better, but that means that they make less money. You know what I mean? But it's got to be more of a spectacle. It's got to look cooler. Look what Hy-Vee did to Iowa. Man, that's awesome. You know, so cool. But people are spending money to do that. You know what I mean? So it takes someone to spend money to create an incredible product for us. And, you know, if we could go to Texas in 2 weeks at the Texas Motor Speedway and sell 50,000 tickets, you know, then there'd be plenty more ovals that are like, hey, we need to get these guys here. And so, you know, hopefully a good race at Texas when it comes to the product of our racing helps. But as we've seen proven by Formula One, and Denny Hamlin mentioned this in his podcast, I think, as well, the racing does not actually matter as long as you sell it right. So, like, if we sold Texas right and used a bunch of, you know, however you do it.
So you mean performing acts? Do you mean,
I don't know. I just making it a spectacle, making it like you have to be there, whatever it is, selling. And again, I'm not a marketing expert, clearly. But people go to Formula One races because it is cool. It's a cool thing to do. They might see one pass and they're like, yeah, like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? So, you know, we the races that we used to sell out of Texas, that we used to sell out at, you know, basically any oval, we were side by side, seven rows deep, and the racing was absolutely, you know, the hairs on your arms were standing up. It was so good. We don't have that anymore. Everyone got scared of that. And you know what? Sorry, but scaredy cats don't sell tickets. You know what I mean? So, like, we gotta get brave. We got to do cool stuff. We got to put on the best show ever. And, you know, I think this race at Texas will actually be better, but with more downforce. I'm hoping it puts on a better show. But it also needs to be at night, which we'll never get because of TV windows. So we'll see. One step at a time. One step at a time.
Well, I mean, you had Andrew Rossi down there promoting IndyCar. It was not probably the Texas race, I wouldn't imagine, but the fact that, like, they're down there, maybe it helped to pique some people's interest enough to be like, hey, what are these guys? Oh, wait, they're coming here, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot more than that. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, we as drivers, we can bust our butts going down there and working, but it takes an overall bigger push from the marketing department. And again, I think we're getting that, right? Like, I believe we're going to get a great Texas commercial that Pato's involved in. It seems like they're taking every winner of every race and kind of giving them an explanation of what goes on and how good you need to be to win, which, sure, that's great, as long as it plays on every television in the entire country. So we'll see. I do believe we are marketing more. I think this second race of our season will be a big telltale sign on, you know, were we able to keep some of the audience that watched at St. Pete? You know what I mean? Were people able to generate any interest by all the social content that we've been driving for? I certainly hope so.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you have any? They probably don't. No, that is a stupid question. I was going to say they probably don't.
kind of keep you guys in the loop on, you know, hey, here's how it's going, you know, push it harder or, you know, anything like that. It's probably for teams and higher-ups, right?
Well, I mean, they just tell us to push everything as hard as we can all the time. So, hey, we even got a document. I don't know if I told you, but we got a document from the series that during the off time, they suggested a bunch of social posts for us to do, like trends on TikTok or like get ready with me videos. And like, I'm like, wow, I don't know if that's going to be any of us doing that stuff. I'm not going to lie. But I mean, they are right. Like, you got to do something, but like, there's certain things that we can do and certain things that it's like, all right, this is not really us. And again, I think some of our content, sadly, we're putting a lot out there, but a lot of those like mini interviews that we do, like with the driver to driver thing, like I just like I we're doing something, which is good, but it does kind of make us look like a county fair at times. So like I don't know. I think it's good to get that interaction. But like, again, you have to make us look freaking cool. You have to do that. And again, we might not be cool. We might be a bunch of nerds. Like, that's the thing. But well, my gosh, you got to paint a picture.
Well, at this point, do you just take the canvas and paint what F1's doing in terms of social and shit like that?
Yeah. And again, I think whatever they do, and again, they're a bunch of nerds in F1 too. I don't know. But, they do a great job, and everyone looks really cool. And again, F1 drivers, none of them are required to do any of that media stuff with the series, right? They do their press conferences, and they do mandatory time with the series, and that's about it. And other than that, it's just basically anytime these drivers are walking around the paddock doing things, that's where all the social stuff comes from, the on-track stuff. So yeah, it's kind of, again, this is not my job. All I can do is comment on what I see. We are doing a lot more, which is great, and I can't wait to do even more. So, yep. Honestly, three cheers for IndyCar for doing more, like, because we are.
For
and
sure.
So I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, Rome wasn't built in a day, and
yeah,
it was, you know, IndyCar's marketing and social strategy. So. They're working. We're working. Everything's good. The arrow's pointing up. And a good guy to talk to about it is our guest. You want to get to Roman Grosjean?
Let's do it. All right. As we mentioned, we have a very, very talented and special guest, a man who is French, a man who is very famous, a man who has competed in more Formula One races than any of us, a man who is currently the only pole sitter of the IndyCar season so far, because we've had one race, but Roman Grosjean, I don't know how I did that, but...
You did that really well, I'm surprised.
You know what, I did take French for 2.5 years, don't quiz me on it, but thank you for being here. Have you recovered from the Sebring 12-hour race? I saw a couple photographs of you, looked like there was some... That's a hard race, I've done it once, I know it's a long day.
I got sick on Friday before the race.
Yes.
So I was under a lot of medicine for the race. I'm still not feeling 100%. So yeah, it was tough. It was a good one. I like it. I like the challenge. But I didn't like the fact that the BFV was really kidding us and we didn't have a chance.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be a different world to get into. I mean, what a switch up, right? You go from so many years in Formula One, the upper echelon, the top level, right? And now it seems like you're just getting to do everything else, right? Like you're doing some IndyCar racing, you're very, very good at it. Getting into the sports car scene, you're driving a Lamborghini down there in Miami. I mean, life is good. Has it been fun to kind of get into this new stage of life?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a guy that, I don't know if you know him, his name is Conor Daly, did Daytona 500. And I thought, you know what? That sounds like a good idea.
There you go. And Roman, we talked about dirt racing too. I know you might want to go midget racing at some point. No big deal. We might see Roman in the dirt.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Not about dirt, but NASCAR? You want to dip the toe in there?
Yeah, I think I want to try it. And we've seen Kimi and Jensen, I think, racing in Kota now, and Daytona 500 has been such a big race. It'll be cool to try. So I don't know. Never say never.
I love it. Hey, should I, when I'm at COTA this weekend racing with Kimi and Jensen, should I say anything to them? I only know Jensen a little bit, but Kimi I obviously don't really know at all because there's no reason he should know who I am at all. Is there anything that I maybe should ask them, maybe should say to them in particular, maybe from you? I don't know.
I know, just send my regards, see how they're doing. I know Jensen. I've been keeping in touch with Jensen quite a bit. Kimi, you know, it's Kimi. He doesn't talk much. Even if you knew him, I'm not sure you would get much words. So it's going to be exciting to watch him going. And I'm really glad that we can see those cross series driving happening. You know, that's what I truly hope, that IndyCar keeps Le Mans free for 2024. So IndyCar drivers can go to Le Mans, and then in 1 year you can do Daytona 24, Daytona 500, Indy 500, Le Mans 24. That's a pretty good year.
Yeah, God, I could just listen to you say Le Mans 24 forever. That sounds so good, man. Sexy.
it's natural.
Rowan, you last year was 2022 was your debut in the Indianapolis 500. I haven't gotten to ask you your thoughts on it, what your experience, not only in the race, but kind of the whole spectacle around it was like.
God, it was awesome. You know, I heard a lot of people talking about the 500, but I think you can talk as much as you want. As long as you haven't been there, you don't know what it is. And that's why I realized on the day, on the 29th of May last year, how big it was. Obviously, the race didn't go my way, but the day was awesome. And, you know, I wasn't the guy that really wanted to do the oval initially, and especially the super speedway. But when you do Indy 500 once, it's just like, okay, when is it May? next year. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited that, you know, as a team, we've improved a lot as well. So hopefully Texas will have a good car, and that's normally a good sign that you should be better in Indy 500.
Yeah, Texas means a lot when it comes to the oval scene with IndyCar, and I think you guys as a team, right? You have to be proud of I guess the improvements that were made, because obviously Andretti is one of the top teams. You know, you guys were very fast at certain places last year, but I would say there were, for sure, if you look at it as a, you know, someone who is looking at it from the outside, I try to look at it as a fan. You're like, hey, wow, we didn't expect them to be, let's say, not at the top in certain areas. So the work that you guys have done in the off season, you proved it right out the gate at St. Pete, right? Being on pole. Obviously the race, you know, that was a tough deal, right? We saw it. I saw your fingers doing some things. I literally drove by you, by the way, when you were in the tire wall, and I'm fairly sure I saw both of your fingers, the middle ones, pointed at Scott McLaughlin. I don't know. There was some sort of hand waving there. I don't know what was going on, but you have to be proud of the step that, at least at race one, that the team has taken forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we made a great work during the winter. And we talked about it, I think, before the season started. And, you know, we always know that everyone thinks he's found a new thing in the winter. But I could see in the team that a lot of positive signs. And especially for me, for the fitting in the car, thermal was very good, sebring was very good. We got to see to St. Pete and qualifying, of course. I think scoring that pole was even maybe more than the first one I did with Dale Coyne, because after 2022, where I struggled with the car, as I said, the team was not where we wanted to be, just being on pole and you know, almost by half a second and just delivering it when it needs to be done. That was pretty cool. I think the race pace is outstanding as well. Didn't come our way, just in a way that the second stint for McLaughlin on the green tire, we spent more time behind the safety car than racing. So he did have to suffer with the deck. And then, we both tried to go for the win with Scott. You know, that was the move that I had to pull when he was on cold tire. That was the move that he had to defend, and maybe defend it a bit far. But anyway. It's racing. We go on to the next one, and as I think we've made some good progress. So I'm excited to see what it's going to be like on ovals, and if we've done progress there, we should be good.
The thing about St. Pete, though, as well, real quick, Joey, what I saw there, I think as looking back on it, obviously I had already been wrecked at least once, but I think you guys, I think, are two of the best in our sport currently, and you know how hard it is to win in the series. We know how challenging every corner is, every lap, every race is, right? I think that both of you, you know, everyone was just, we were so committed that both of you had to have it. And that's really good race. Honestly, that is what racing has to be sometimes. Like, you see many times where, like, just two drivers were never going to give in. And I think that's honestly, like, obviously, on a road course, you know, if there's grass, you both go off and, you know, maybe everything's okay. But obviously, we're on a street circuit, right? But do you just think that that's the level that you have to be at in IndyCar? Like, you have to be willing to do anything to, you know, to make sure that you get that win, you are able to stay in front and get the lead.
Yeah, it's different from what I've been doing before. Obviously, qualifying was the same. You have to push 100%. But then in Formula One, in the race, you kind of settle where you are. You look after your tires, you look after your fuel,
yeah,
and so on. In IndyCar, it's a different animal. You need to push every single lap. And we made a small mistake on our pit wall after my first pit stop, because when I cleared Pato, I thought he was the only guy that was a threat for us, so to say. You know, use efficient push to pass. So I was using a bit of push to pass, but I was still fuel saving a little bit. And I forgot to tell me that Scott was starting on black, was not pitted yet. So that's why he passed the first time around. So the second time around, I tell you, the outlap I did on cold black tire was a hell of an outlap. And it was almost good enough to get Scott back. But yes, every lap is like qualifying up in the race. And that's what makes it hard and physically much more demanding.
We saw that photo that went out of you and Scotty Mack hugging it out, though, down there. he came up to you. What was that conversation like?
Yeah, he came, and I really appreciate that, because he came to the transporter. I wasn't there. He came to my bus. I wasn't there. And then he came back to the transporter. So he really tried to come and meet me. And when I saw his face, when I came out of the transporter, I saw his face. You can tell if someone is just coming and say, oh, sorry, for the sake of just saying sorry, or someone is deeply, you know, kind of marked by the incident. And I saw, and before even he made a word, I just gave him a cuddle. I was like, I admire Scott. I do think he's one of the most talented drivers that we've got to race against. And if he had a chance to Formula One, I think he would have done an amazing well. You know, coming from V8 Supercars, being able to do so well in IndyCar, I'm amazed by Scott. We're friends. I text him a couple of days after the race to ask how his hand was, because I know he's kind of got the steering wheel back on his head. It's all good. It's not broken. I've got a lot of respect for him. I've got a lot of respect from the fact that he came to see me. And you know what? If he was to do again, I would do the same. He'd probably do the same, because we're racers and we want to win the race.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, I don't think if you guys went into that corner again, I think it would happen again, because you're both fighting for the same thing. You can only think about what's going on right at that moment. You know what I mean? And there's nothing going on yet with the championship. We're just fighting it out for the first race. So I suck for you guys. Great as a race fan. I want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing in Formula One. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on right now that I notice a lot more, because I've obviously been on this side more. And I see F1 kind of not necessarily coming after us, but like, you see a lot of the words in the Vegas promo, and it's very much like trying to copy the Indy 500. And there's a few things. I don't know if you saw Kevin Magnussen's comment. He was saying the middle of the field was like IndyCar. But then the F1 commentator right after, Alex edited this video. And at the end of it, the F1 commentator lady was like, oh, no, let's not talk about that. And I was like, man, like, you know a lot of those people there. You know everyone there almost. What do people say about IndyCar? Does it seem like there's a lot of attacks coming at us for no reason? Or, like, is there more respect than we would really see? Because, like, I'm trying to, I fight for IndyCar till the day I die.
You know what? I think IndyCar deserves more respect than it has in the Formula One view. But also, we have to understand Formula One, which is a global sport going racing around the world. For them, IndyCar is only US-based, which is true. We only race in the US. So they don't really worry about IndyCar is a competitor of what they do. But I think they don't realize neither how much effort and how competitive the series is. So I think there's some learning that could be done in Formula One, but also understand the point that they don't really care about us because they just go globally and we are the US series, right? I think the US is a great country. There's a lot of people and we can do a good show here. And hopefully we can expand a little bit to Latin America and maybe one race in Europe a year just to go out and show out what our races are.
Where would you want in Europe? Would you want France?
I don't care where. I think we just need to find the right circuit for us. You know, there's a lot of great racetrack, but if we take Paul Ricard in France for IndyCar, it'd be disaster. Just the cars are not made for that racetrack. So we need something which is a bit more twisty, a little bit more tricky. That would work well. So we just put on a good show. You know, I think IndyCar try to go to Kota, and Kota in Formula One is an amazing racetrack. But for IndyCar, it's too flat, it's too smooth, even though it's very bumpy for Formula One, and it's too wide, it's too good. So we just need to find the right spot to go to where we could put on a good show. And we are not a competitive Formula One, we're a different series. And I think we can coexist and we can actually help each other to get spotlight. You know, they became big in the US. Maybe we can use that. They use that wave as IndyCar to surf on the fact that we have, you know, 100% renewable fuel. We've got the green tires. We're also doing stuff in the right direction, and we have product that when you watch a race, just love it.
Yeah, but I love the idea of working together with them, right? But I just feel like I see so many things where they're like, man, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it aggressively, but I do hope we can work more hand in hand. Like, I think, you know, I loved going to Kota last year to the F1 race, seeing a lot of folks, you know, saw you there as well. And, you know, there were several IndyCar drivers there, right? And I think we know as a series in IndyCar, we got to get to that next level of marketing, right? Like we got to push our product out there. I know you've been very, very good at trying to help us, you know, get more and more eyes on us. Have they done much filming with you for the 100 Days to Indy? Have you been a part of that at all, our new TV show?
Yeah, I think I'm in episode one, so I've been sitting in Miami. I've been playing tennis with Elio Castroneves on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Both live in Miami, so that was really, plays really well. So it was a good game.
That's because he's old.
Yeah. He's good. They were actually, when Scotty came to apologize after the race, they were here. They had a camera on here. I don't know who he did that, but... but it was right there, and I thought, you know, when it was all over, so that's good that you saw that, because that's genuinely IndyCar. You know, we race bloody hard, elbows out, but when we remove a helmet for 98% of the drivers, it's a different story. We're friends, we go out, we talk about it, we share a beer, and we move on.
Who's part of that 2%, Alex Rossi?
actually, you know what? Alex Rossi is now a good friend of mine. It was maybe a year too late, according to Michael Andretti, but
you guys are pilots now.
Yes. With Alex Rossi, we were very similar in a lot of way, and being teammate was not easy. So we had that clash in Mid Ohio. Let's not lie to each other. We almost fight each other in the truck. But after that, we had a call and we kind of cleared the air. And since then, we've been really good.
I love it. Yeah, I think there's so many good things going on with our series. But to get to really, you know, more important things, let's talk a little bit about, we interviewed Jimmy Johnson not too long ago, obviously, very successful man, has won a lot of things. We asked Jimmy Johnson what his most favorite after party of all time was. Is there a race in your career in Formula One or IndyCar where there might have been the greatest after party you've ever been to, whether you were celebrating something, you're on the podium, winning stuff? Can we get a fun Romain Grosjean after party potential grading system?
No, there's been some good ones.
Because I think F1 always did great after parties. Like I didn't go to a lot, but man, they did some great stuff. The Amber Lounge, all that stuff, man.
Yeah, I went out once with my good friend Matt LeBlanc, Joey from Friends. Don't go out with him. It's bad.
All I was out with him in Austin after the Kona race once.
Yes.
You guys are friends with Matt LeBlanc?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get him to come to Long Beach. There's no excuse. So let's hope he can come. Let's see. You got a free skill. That was a good one. But I really enjoyed as well the one we went out after my first podium in Indy. You were there, Colton, Ed Jones, Scott was there. Few of us were there. And it was just generally an easygoing evening where we just had fun. And it was like friends hanging out and not the paddock just being out.
So that was exactly. Man.
He's the tequila king. That guy would freaking rip tequila shots like it's
water. We got to do more of those parties, man. We shotgun White Claws together. Like, we got to do more of that.
No, I'm not doing that anymore, by the way.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. But just let me, I will let you know that there will be some after parties for the Indy GP, the 500, and consider, you will be invited, of course. If you know.
All right.
Tell the wife and kids it's daddy's night out. You know, we're going to have a nice time. Or bring the wife, either way.
I'll bring the wife. I'll give the kids to Olivier, my engineer, and I'll bring the wife.
There you go. Roman, on a personal level for me, I guess, me and the wife and the baby are thinking about, we really want to go to Paris, we really want to go to France. Do you have any absolute tips, do's, don'ts for Americans who are going over there for the first time?
Don't speak with a too much American accent, so they don't recognize you American.
They don't like us.
Right. They will use the fact that you are foreigners. Such a beautiful city, Paris. There's so much to do. Honestly, just walk around. I know it's not something that you do very much here, walking, but 100% that's what I would do. Walk in the city. You don't really have to have anywhere to go as long as you're in the center. You just walk and you stop to a nice cup of coffee and you have a single shot espresso, you know, just stuff like that, a nice croissant, and then keep walking and just discover the bistro and the food and the way of living in France.
What's the best time of year to go there?
You know what? I think it's July, August, because most of the city is empty because everyone that lives in Paris goes on holiday. And therefore, the city is empty, and it's down to you.
Nice. That's a very good tip. Thank you.
Right. So, one more question. Obviously, you want to do NASCAR, all that stuff. That's great. I want to do Le Mans as well. We have all these things on our list of things to do. What do you think is next for IndyCar for us as a series? Right? How do we get to that next level? We talked about a race in Europe. You know, obviously, we saw Mark Miles and IndyCar, they were down in Argentina. I think that would be a great place to go for a race. What do you think is the next step for IndyCar to get to the next level of respect, the next level of viewership? Is it the new car? Is it a new engine? Is it more tracks? Is it a better schedule? What do you think is the next step for us as a series? I know that's a lot, but like, is it, hey, if we get a new car, it'll be cool? Or like, we need 20 races. You know, do we need... is it literally just get us more viewers and a better commercial program and we go from there?
You know what? I think Penske Corporation is doing a lot this year in the right direction. Yes. That we can see and we can be thankful. Is one thing that I'm still very skeptical with is our schedule. And that's just my personal opinion. I think it's very strange that we stop in early September and then we don't go racing until March or February. It's like 6 months where we disappear. And I understand some of the reason behind it, but the other championship like NASCAR don't stop that early. So that's the only thing I would say, hey, why don't we try to extend a little bit? Maybe a couple of races out of the US would be good. Maybe we can replace some of the races that we do that maybe are not the best for us, you know? I won't name them, but I think there's one or two that we definitely not have on the calendar, and then try to replace for the one. And then once we start growing, maybe cities like Miami or big cities, Boston or New York would be great. We can start going racing in those big cities, and if you see Nashville as a success, or St. Pete is a success, or Long Beach is a success. I think that tells us something. I'm excited about Detroit. I think it's going to be awesome. But that shows something that maybe we should keep going there. And the viewership, yeah, it just the product is good. I think the cars, yes, yeah. they're not the newest one, but they work well for racing. So we don't really need to change them. It's just having people to stop watching our races and then they fall in love with it.
Exactly. No, I agree. Well, we appreciate your time, man. I want to get you a quick speculation. We've asked Jimmy Johnson this. I want to get a top three in the Indy 500. I want to get a quick guess, top three Indy 500 this year. You can pick yourself. That's totally fine. But even aside from yourself, give us a Indy 500 this year top three prediction.
Oh, wow.
We want to get the speculation.
Right. Yeah, bro. I'm going to go Conavini, Romain Grosjean, Tony Canel.
All right. That'll be a big one.
It's real.
Yeah.
Tony Canel and McLaren. Goal.
Yeah, then he can retire happy. He's in the top three.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you for your time. We appreciate what you do for the sport. Great to race with you and against you. And you know what? Can't wait for Texas, and hopefully we'll see you at the front, and hope you feel better as well. Let's get ourselves recovered for Texas.
Yes. Let's go round and round and round.
Yeah. Circles, baby.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye. Bye. What a great conversation there with a motorsport professional, someone who has been involved in a lot of interesting stuff in a short IndyCar career so far, but he's going to do a lot more. Great conversation, though. Joey, I mean, what do you think of Romain, Romain Grosjean? I didn't actually tell him that we call him Romain Grosjean. I was trying to be respectful. Some guy got really mad at me for giving Angus Jalapeno a nickname. He said I was it just made him very angry that I was not pronouncing his name, Augustin Canapino. Yeah, obviously, no. I know how to pronounce his name. Like that might not even be right, but I know his name. Okay, I like nicknames. We're having a great time. What do you think, Joey?
I love talking with Romain. That was the first time that I've gotten to extensively talk to him. I know we mentioned that Monday after qualifying when we all got to, you know, kind of hang out a little bit, was the first time that I'd met him. But he kind of dipped out to be with the family not too long after that. So good to talk to. I think he had a lot of really insightful stuff about the future in the series and what he would like to see from a European perspective. I liked a lot what he said about how, like, you know, Formula One's capitalizing on America. Well, IndyCar should capitalize on Europe and those markets. So I thought that made a lot of sense. But now a great guy and then hope to, you know, smash some white claws with him in May.
Yeah. It was great to let the people know that we did shotgun white claws together at one point. So that was a nice thing that the people needed to know. As usual, we're going to wrap up the show here very soon. Please buy Speed Street shirts on Dirty Mo's website because, well, then you can get more Dale Earnhardt Jr. shirts if you buy all the Speed Street shirts. So we love that. We're going to go to one of our favorite segments, probably our favorite segment. We're coming up with maybe a segment for Joey as well for the next couple races. Joey, I don't know how you feel about it, but maybe jumping on Joey's bandwagon. It's a Joey's bandwagon segment. We're going to jump on with Joey on who he thinks for the weekend is going to be great. And even after the weekend, hey, I'm jumping on this guy now. He's my guy, you know what I mean, or whoever that is. That potentially could be a good segment.
I don't fancy myself as a gambler, you know? Like, I'm not sitting there on March Madness, like, going crazy with that, or even really the NFL or anything. But with IndyCar, I feel like I've carved out a nice little market here because, you know, people... You know, they're getting familiar with it, more familiar with it, and I have had, you know, some decent hits and success betting on IndyCar. So that's going to be
go.
As well. So you'll be able to hop on with me, and yeah, we'll have some fun. But that's probably coming up next week when we get the preview for Texas. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Well, as usual, we're going into the Ricky Treadway, random Indy 500 driver of the week. Say that five times fast. It's very difficult. Well, we went this year with the 1964 race. I did notice in our spreadsheet that I don't think we have used 1964 before. There's a few names in here, though, that we have used, but there's even a few names that could still be on the list for random Indy 500 drivers. This race was, of course, won by A.J. Foyt. I was in the gym this morning with A.J. Foyt IV. Good to see him again.
Nice.
We're going with the 22nd place finisher, Bob Mathauser. Bob Mathauser won $5,000. I'm actually on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway website for these facts now. He won $5,000 for finishing 22nd. Bob Mathauser, born the 15th of the third month, 1928, and died the 15th of the 11th month, 1980.
Do you have your months?
No, I do. It's March and then November, so don't worry about it. I just like the way it was reading. I was like, I'm going to read this like olden times. I don't know.
That's fine. I just needed to
let me read.
Sake, and the listener's sake, I think I needed to make sure that you did, in fact, know the months.
I do know the months of the year. Yes, I am aware of it.
Good.
Born in Omaha, Nebraska. Died in Los Angeles. Drove in the USAC Championship Car Series. 30 career starts, including just, it looks like just one Indy 500.
Yeah.
1964 Indy 500, drove the Dayton disc brake, Walther Offie, spinning out after 77 laps. But it only mentions one Indy 500 for him. So very, very interesting. It looks like in 1965, Mickey Thompson brought a front-wheel drive car to Indy. The year after Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald were killed in the fiery crash, Mathauser drove the car but had an engine failure on his final qualifying run. The car still holds the IMS front-wheel drive one-lap speed record. That's interesting. The slowest car in the field that year ran a four-lap average of 153.7 miles an hour. Wow, and then it went up in a ball of fire down the front straight. So, might have qualified. He might have qualified in 65 if the car didn't explode and catch on fire. So, man, interesting story there from old Bob.
Well, at least he survived that. And,
went on to live.
So, good deal for old Bobby Math. One-time starter, one more than I'll ever have at the Indianapolis 500. Appreciate that, Connor. Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks again to Roman Gloshan for hopping on. Fantastic conversation with him. Connor is heading down to Austin for a big weekend at COTA. When are you heading down there? Probably today, tomorrow?
Going to go down there Thursday night. Well, Thursday night travel.
Thursday night? Okay. Gotcha. Big RV down there. Very nice. That'll be very cool.
Oh, yeah.
That'll get you, nice little warm-up for the month of May incoming. But good deal. We got that. Next week will be race week for IndyCar once again. Very much looking forward to that. Be sure to send to a fellow racing friend, a fellow friend, to grow the Speed Street, at Speed Street Pod on Instagram and on Twitter. Follow us there. You never know, we'll pop out a little Q&A, interact with the fans on there and our latest, from the show. And be sure to follow all those things as well as the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So for Connor Daly, Ben Walden, John Molinaro. Talk to you next week. Race week on Speed Street.
A brand new episode of Door Bumper Clear is out now. Head over and don't forget to follow the show so you get notified as soon as a new episode drops.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo. Dirty Mo.